Feel it. Feel it.
Good work, riveting.
Riveting, exactly.
All right, folks, there are copies of the agenda and the kind of the public hearing, which would be local law number 4 of 2013. And there's also a copy of a letter from Peckham if you want to read it. We may read it out loud for those of you that didn't grab a copy of it. It should be, that part of it will go pretty quick. What I'd like to do first is we have a pretty short official agenda. As you can see, there's only three items on here. I've got a couple add-ons. I'm sure we've got a couple of recordings from the trustees. And then, as always, after we go through all the rest of the meeting, I'll open it up to comments from the public and comments from the department heads and the rest of the board. So first things first, let's go ahead and kick the public hearing, off and open it up. I'll go ahead and read the paragraph from the agenda. Please take notice that in accord with the Village of Catskill zoning regulations, the Village Board of Trustees will hold a public hearing at 7 p.m. Wednesday.
Wrong date, sorry.
August, I'm going to cross that out here. 28th, 2013, at the Senior Center, Academy Street, Catskill, New York, to consider local law number 4 of 2013. To propose a ban the use of brine on any village street or village-owned property, and it would prohibit the sale, application, and disposal of waste associated with natural gas or oil exploration and extraction activities within the Village of Catskill. Any person wishing to be heard on this local law may be heard at that time and place. A copy of said proposed local law number 4, 2013 is available for public inspection during normal business hours in the Village Clerk's Office, 422 Main Street, Catskill, New York. So we do have a good crowd here tonight. So what I would like to do, if you have comments, if you can keep them, because I want to give everybody a chance to talk if they do want to talk, keep them to, you know, the 3 minute range. If you're on a roll, I won't stop you. If you've got some good content to it, if you're stammering, I might catch you. So let me start with table one. I'm going to go one, two, three. Table one, does anybody have anything they would like to bring up regarding this proposed local law number 4 of 2013 for the Village of Catskill? Yes?
The fines.
And can you please state your name just for the record?
Sure, yes. Jessica Larcy Abrams.
Thank you.
I have a concern about the $1,000 fine and or imprisonment and the not to exceed $15,000 per offense.
So section 5, those of you that have a copy of it, section 5, it's on page 2, the face page of page 2. Basically reads, any violation of this section will be considered a misdemeanor punishable by a maximum fine of $1,000 and or imprisonment of up to 1 year for each separate offense. So yes, Jessica, what's the question?
That's not enough. That can't be enough for Ecoside. For spilling this type of chemical concoction, wouldn't it be acceptable to have it even on private property? This doesn't seem like it stops it everywhere. It stops it only on the public lands.
Right.
Village so, only.
So you're questioning two things. You're questioning the scope, and you're also questioning the fine. So
yes.
Let's address the fine first. So to have this as an open conversation, what in your mind would be the right amount?
Well, there isn't. You can't put a price on Ecoside. That's why it should be full banned, every facet of the practice.
Well, in here we do have to have some sort of a fine, though, right? So if you violate, so it's like any, and you know this, I'll just say this out loud. So what would the number be that you would
take? We'll take out the or imprisonment. There should be something that scares someone into not doing it. Not that there's a price tag on it.
Gotcha. Okay, I see where you're going. All right, that makes sense. I'll
thank you for
your discussion. We'll go around a little bit. And then the scope, you said that you would like it to be more, because right here it's just Village of Catskill property.
Right.
Right.
That's not enough.
Right.
That's not local law.
Right. I'll have to. Here's my recommendation, and I get where you're going with that, Jessica. Let's get through this as it's written, because I think that might be another piece to this, right?
So an amendment we would create?
It would have to be, right? Because I don't necessarily want to hold this up to have, because that to me is a lot of conversation between us and our attorney. Think about the scope of that, right? Because now we're going from things that we, as taxpayers, and you elect us to represent you. Well, those properties that we have in control. Let me think about that. Let's table that one and keep this going if that's okay with you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Anybody else from table one have anything? Yes, sir? Right next.
The letter from Andrew Person. The letter from Peckham says that they don't use any fracking waste in their products. But are they the only supplier that you go through? Because It's the only...
So Lou, did you happen to hear that? Is Peckham our only supplier as of right now today?
No.
No.
It's your only oil supplier that at this time we use. But we use different products, which we don't buy from Peckham, such as our salt, which is under county contract, which whoever gets the county contract, at this point in time, is not Peckham. So it's Cargill, or it could be International Salt. So I can't tell you, right? Last year it was Cargill.
Right, so right now this is just, and I'm looking at this as a separate, this is separate to what we're talking about tonight. This is just a letter from one of our vendors that's stating that I already, how I'm reading this, is great, do this, because I already comply with what you're asking me to comply with, so.
One of our biggest vendors.
And this is one of our biggest vendors. We'll make sure, and this is gonna lock down the other, yes, Joe?
And if you read in the rest of it, every one of the businesses that we deal with will be sent a letter or a little disclaimer saying that they can't use any of the fracking products and ship them to us.
Anything else, Andrew?
The beginning of section 5, where the village accepts a bid, enters into a contract other than a bid, or a contract chosen through the county bid. Other than a bid chosen through the county bid, they can, as long as it's bid through the county, they can bypass this?
Yes.
That's not the intent, so let me read this. Hold on, give me one second, I gotta read slow. Accepts a bid or enters into a contract other than a bid.
So it's basically saying that if it's put through the county bid, then they don't have to follow this law.
They're not bound by this law.
No.
They only have to follow the law that the state says, not individuals.
Right, but so then we just wouldn't buy through the county bid. Right, I mean, we can't tell the county what to do, so this is basically saying we just won't buy through the county bid.
No, I wouldn't say that.
No.
You should have the obligation to stay cut that bid. So the state...
Where the village...
Hold on, yep.
Unless the state adopts that law, it says we're excluding these people and you can't bid under state contract unless you honor that. That's the only way you can hold it to that.
But we're saying that we're not gonna participate in any of those vendors.
No, you won't.
Right.
If they bid on you, because one of the state obligations, you have to, if they're the lowest bidder, you have to accept them.
No, within 10%.
Within 10%?
Yes.
Well...
Right, but this is saying where the village accepts a bid or enters into a contract. So we are accepting the bid.
You are accepting it.
Yep.
And you're accepting it.
Under the...
Where they accept it.
Right, where they accept the bid, through the county.
So that's not it then.
Okay, I mean, this is good, this is what we're here tonight to talk through these here.
You question that stuff, but under the obligations of the village law, you have to accept the lowest bid unless you have a justified reason not to do that.
Unless they don't meet the requirements of that bid. So if part of that bid, so part of the RFP, request for proposal, we say we want to buy a box, and we don't want to buy, and part of the box is we're not going to buy a yellow box, even if they're the lowest bidder, if they didn't give us a yellow box, we don't have to accept that bid.
Exactly right.
So that's what I'm saying here.
When you put that bid out, it's got to be underlined like that so we can exclude them from that.
Yeah, okay.
That's
Lou?
Well, that's what's going to say.
Yeah.
When the county puts a product out for bid, village board accept whether to buy for that bid or not. Every time the county bid sends us a letter that they have accepted this person, then the office or Betsy brings it to the board, and the board chooses whether they're going to accept the buy from the county bid or bid it out themselves. So it falls under your responsibility to accept or not accept the county bid.
Yep. I do agree that the wording on this one is light.
Yeah, and if we put those restrictions,
I don't like the or contract chosen through county bid.
You can exclude the bid.
Okay.
But who's going to sign this sworn statement then? The enforcement provision? Because we're getting from the county,
can you say, will this supplier, I want it, but will this supplier agree to the...
Being the contract drawn up between them and explains to them, if you meet this criteria,
we
will want it. If you don't meet this criteria, don't put a bid in, because we're not going to accept it, if that's the way they vote.
Yeah.
And if they don't vote that way, then it don't exist, and you're going under the state mandates, and assuming the state is saying, that's the way we want it. So, unless the state passes the law, it's not going to be there.
They have to agree to in order to bid with us.
Right, so if you look under 6.3, or section 6.3 at the bottom, and then it rolls over to the next page, I mean, this is basically the boilerplate that that vendor would have to abide by. We, Peckham, blah, 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 you know, whoever it is, I'm picking up Peckham because they got the letter here, but we, the so-and-so vendor, goes right through there, so.
It'll be part of the bid package.
And it tells you right there, they're swearing to the.
And hang on, folks, I want to just, Joe, Trustee Kozlowski has a question here, so where do you think in section five? Joe said in here you should have a state.
There should also be, should be county and state.
And it was on the next one, section six.
Section six.
That's where it was changed.
Five and six have the same language, other than a bid or contract chosen through the county bid.
Okay. Are you okay?
So, subparagraph three for section six doesn't apply to what we're talking about, because the first paragraph, first sentence, in the event the village accepts a bid or enters a contract other than a bid or contract chosen by the state or county. So, there's still.
It's going to be in our hands whether you want it or you don't. So, pretty much comes back to the village board.
Yeah.
Right, and that's the whole idea of this, I think, is that we want to have the ultimate say. We, the village board, want to have the ultimate say on the choosing the vendor and the content of the product that we buy.
I think it's important to go over with the attorney to make sure, because we don't accept it. Can you do that?
Right.
Every bidding process has to have this disclaimer about the prime products going out for bids.
Right.
Okay.
That's part of the acceptance.
So, I agree, section five, that first sentence, it is all one. That first sentence needs rewording, I do agree with that, I will.
If it said including rather than other than, accepts a bid or enters into a contract including a bid or contract chosen from the county.
Yep, I mean, I'll take that as a note. You know, I want to run this back through the engine again. Let's keep going, because I want to get all the mockups, all the recommended changes or additions, and then have a conversation about those. Still on table one?
Nope.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
One more thing, though.
Sure.
The wording of it, where any property maintained or controlled by the village of Coxsackie?
Catskill.
Where are you? What section?
We already covered that it's going to, he's going to consider covering all.
Section two. Definitions.
In the definitions, the property and or village property, it only covers property that is controlled by the village of Catskill.
Correct.
So if they own property in Catskill, they can dump it wherever they want.
That's a whole different conversation, right? So to me, that's a whole different. Right, so, I mean.
Where is this then?
Yeah.
Okay, one thing, I don't know what the actual final decision on this was, but when they passed the Albany vine ban law, somebody brought up that they hadn't done an appropriate SECRA.
It was the wastewater treatment plant.
It was regarding the wastewater treatment plant?
Yeah, that's all.
So it's just if you need to do a SECRA, you might want to just make sure.
There's some simple SECRA language, I think, that needs to make.
And it's only 4 months. You have 4 months for somebody to say you need to have one. So, I mean, it's.
Yep. Okay. That makes sense. Does anybody else from table one have anything they'd like to bring up? Yes, ma'am.
Just like to say on the thing. My name is Nan Sulua. I live at the senior building. In terms of assessing the fine, maybe a percentage of, instead of just trying to guess a figure for a fine, maybe a percentage of what you're purchasing. To put in a percentage of whatever you've purchased from them would be a fine, rather than just making up a fine. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, say if I'm.
Yeah, it's like a $100,000.
Yeah, $100,000. The $1,000 fine wouldn't mean much to you.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
So if you said, if I'm going to say 25% of whatever my purchase is, you're going to think about it.
Or 200%. That would be a serious penalty rather than a slap on the wrist.
All right, anything else from table one? All right, Yes, ma'am.
Well, I don't know that much about law, but if a private citizen does something that is going to harm other citizens, isn't that against the law? And so why is it, why do we leave them out if they, if a private citizen, you know, agrees to have brine on his or her property? Wouldn't that be included? You know, I don't understand why we can't regulate that.
So this is I don't want this to be taken out of context. So I want to take baby steps with this. I want to really focus and hone in and clean this up, and then I think we kind of jump back and take
but
a look at that.
But we are cleaning it up.
If we, no, you're adding to it, right? So what you're suggesting is we're right now, we as a board said, okay, we're going to say on all village proper owned properties, streets, municipal lots, things like that, that's our scope. Now I'm hearing that we want to go for this whole 2.2 square miles of the village, and I'm just not ready yet tonight to go there. And if we are, if as a group we do decide that, then I want to close down the hearing, come back to this same group with a new hearing with some different language, but I'll have to talk it over with my board first to see if they're willing to expand that scope. I would rather personally see if we can move this forward, get a success under our belt, and then move to the next step.
It's leaving us wide open.
I don't know. I mean, we're wide open now, right? So we have nothing. Yeah. We have nothing right now. So I'm saying let's do a little something. That's all my recommendation. Let me keep moving here. Yes, still first table. Yes. Yeah.
Ms. Kirkus, Penny, are you saying, so this is basically, this is regarding the village right now. If we wanted to do something else that would regard private property, in other words, like if I bought some land and I'm like, hey, come dump your brine on mine, you know, I would obviously have to get penalized for that. So are you saying that that's probably going to be have to be something separate from this?
I would like it to be, because I want to keep, again, I keep using the word scope, but I want to keep that, yes. That would be something separate.
So if we can pass this for the village, I think that, you know, then immediately after we need to do one that keeps, you know, all of us accountable as well.
Right. I don't want to be stuck in analysis paralysis. If we do the scope, we're going to be having more conversations about this. Still on table one. Anybody else before I move to table two? All right, Pat, table two.
Pat Ruck. Just in terms of the penalty, if something is classified as a misdemeanor, then there's a maximum what a penalty can be, either a imprisonment or a monetary penalty. Just a point of information. If you're charged with a misdemeanor, you can't get life. You can't get $100,000 penalty.
The judge can make it a $5 fine or up to $1,000. Is what this is saying right now. It could be a 50-cent.
I'm not suggesting any change. It's just a point of information.
No, thank you. All right, folks, on. Justine Kozlowski has a comment.
Well, basically, through our zoning and don't we control the property in the village?
We control the property of the village, but you don't control the fines. If they come before the judge, the judge can issue that fine as much as she
wants. Correct. I'm saying that the people in private property, based somewhat, we do control it because of our zoning and zoning regulations.
What law is on the book do we have right now that bans us from anybody?
That's why we're going for this. But I'm just saying, basically, with the definition of property, we do control people's property somewhat by our zoning
law. And the usage of that by state law.
And our usage of that property, right. So
state law,
so if we create this law, we don't have a state law to back it up.
That's right.
Right, and that's okay.
No, so we're just going with a local law for now.
And I don't think it's proper to do this when we have the population of the village is what, 5,000 people. And you're trying to tell us to make a decision.
Yep.
Push a law through without getting the input of all the taxpayers on whether they want it.
That's what this is tonight. This is a public hearing and it's notified, so taxpayers would come in to do that.
But you know as well as I do, no matter how much notification you put out there, these people don't show up until it concerns them. And you're putting a burden on the taxpayers to haul this stuff away if they get it from somebody who doesn't follow these rules and regulations. And it's your responsibility. We're going to put a $10,000 or $15,000 fine on to them and enforce that up to that.
Okay, I think we're getting off track here. Tonight, the scope of this is that the village, and I'm going to oversimplify it and take out the legal speak. The scope of this is that we are saying that as a village board, we will not purchase any products that have brine in it and place that product on any of our village-owned properties. That's all. To me, it's not. If my neighbor Susie Smith bought something and had it on their property, that's not what I'm covering here. This is only us as a village board making a decision about what we purchase and what we apply to our village streets and publicly owned properties. Does that make sense?
Yes, I agree with what you're saying there. But what do you do to the people that used this before this brine law was going to take effect and have it on their property? And you do. Do you leave it there? Do you make them?
This doesn't address that. This absolutely.
So that stays there in the future.
Right here, if somebody has a bucket of brine on their property, if my neighbor, Joe Smith, has a bucket of brine on their property, that has nothing to do with this. But we can't buy that bucket of brine, if this passes, we can't buy that bucket of brine and pour it on the street to melt ice. That's basically what.
That's what I'm getting at. You're not going back to them and penalizing them for something when the law didn't exist.
Correct. This has nothing, nothing to do with that. Okay, still on table two. Anybody? Yes.
Okay. So, I lost my train of thought. All right, so this is just for you, and then we can address village properties. And also, by doing this, are you not hoping that to get other people together and that it will maybe force the county to also adopt something like this and then eventually have the state adopt? Isn't that what part of this is? Is it like the pebble in the pond?
Right, so I don't be altruistic and say this is going to be the spark that starts the fire, that starts the blazer, and anything like that.
But we're hoping that.
This comes down to, and I'm going to speak as we joke around on the board, I say this is my 20% of this, is that this is something that's important to me. I think this is something that we as a village board have this on our radar. We're going to make a decision at some point whether we want to put this on the streets. If other municipalities take our lead, because we are the county seat, if they take our lead, great. We go all go rah rah, we're great. If nobody else does, I still sleep better at night knowing that we did what we said we were going to do. Look at this, look at all the angles of it, and move forward with it one way or the other.
And then once this is cleaned up and taken care of, then we can address the village properties.
Correct. Let's get this through, do what we need to do with this. Yes,
we're not the first community. Tannersville or Hunter, I think, already addressed it a year or two ago. So.
Okay.
All right, table two, or section two, if you will. Anybody else have any comments? All right, Nancy?
I just have one I want to clear. So if this goes to the next step, the next phase, where we're dealing with public property, if your neighbor Susie Smith takes that bucket and dumps it in the street, then she'll be fined, right?
Correct, that's a whole, that's
the next phase.
And that, and I'm really not yet clear. I have to talk, I have to do a little research and talk to our attorney to figure out what our jurisdiction is in there. I'm sure we have some, but I need to think that, I definitely need to think that through. I'll come back to table one, hang on. Table three. Yes, sir.
Michael Buehler, non-resident of Village of Catskill, but of Town of Catskill. Two questions to the board. Did you just find the facts out on this brine salt?
The facts?
Did you get an analysis?
We did not, no.
Then why are you passing a law when you don't know if something's harmful or not?
We're not passing a law tonight. This is a public hearing to hear folks like yourself, Michael, come out
The second part is, as a concerned citizen, nobody wants to see pollution anywhere. That's not what I'm here for. What I'm here for is there was a meeting that occurred a couple weeks back with people speaking and throwing things out there about this brine salt and the things in it. And then there was an article in the paper which gave the alternative view by Mr. Paul Brown with a link where everyone can find out all the facts. And I went to that link and I found all the facts out. And I didn't see anything nearly close to what was stated in the previous meeting at a village meeting here in their concerns. And I'd like to caution the board, before you go forward with the law, get the facts. You owe it to your constituents to get the facts before you go forward.
We agree. Yep. Just to clarify, this is that's the public hearing tonight, Mike. That we have this conversation. Yes, Mr. Scott.
Thanks. So there's two facts I could offer. One, the fact is that the federal government exempted that fluid and all other chemicals and fluids that they use from any regulation. The solutions are proprietary, and they're not allowed to police the content.
So you can't go to a town that, there's towns using it already, right? Counties?
Correct.
You can't go there and take a spigot, open it up, say, here, Mr. Chemist, analyze and get an analysis, so there's no.
Yes, it can.
Then don't tell me it's proprietary. The mixtures are proprietary.
Yeah.
What mixtures are used of these chemicals to break the rock that they're into?
So then part two, what I would say, that has been done. And they're full of all kinds of chemicals that you wouldn't put on your lawn.
There's natural chemicals. There's natural elements that occur in our ground, in the earth.
Would you like to, let's come to the next meeting, I'll give you a list.
There's a periodic table of elements.
Yep.
All of which reside right here on this earth, in the ground, in the air.
Okay, so why don't you spread some toluene on your next meal and see if it's delicious?
Well, excuse me, Foster, but you don't understand the parts per million.
Of course.
Could you explain how much chlorine is used, parts per million, for your drinking water?
Yeah, there's a certain limit that's DOH approved for almost all of those.
Fluoride, parts per million.
There is no parts per million for toluene that's acceptable for human use.
Right.
Billions.
Is there? I apologize if there is, because as far as I know, it's not an edible product.
There's many things that are not edible, but these are things we have to deal with that naturally occur.
Yeah, the radiation is naturally occurring.
There's uranium.
All those other chemicals are not naturally occurring.
They're all elements within our turf and our planet.
And they're meant to stay down.
No, it's okay. We have to have these.
Get the facts. Present the facts to this board so they can make a proper judgment before a law is created where the village taxpayers then can't save some money because they happen to be able to get brine salt cheaper than rock salt from Western New York rather than digging it out of the ground.
Specifically, you understand the brine salt we're talking about is that it comes out of a hydraulic fracturing mine site.
I am aware of that.
Not just.
Have you ever visited a mine site?
Yes, I
have.
Okay. Have you visited after the whole process was done and there's no longer anything there but a pipe sticking out of the ground and a tank pumping natural gas?
The county sky, earthquakes.
Yes.
Okay.
Water classification.
There's been 14,000 wells producing in New York State, not one single incident of contamination.
That's completely
that already exists. Not one. You prove it.
Sure. I will.
Because I looked it up and I can't find any.
James Bill up on the internet.
Okay. So does anybody have anything else on from section three or table three? Anything new to add? All right. I think other folks. So again, it is a public hearing, so I do want to hear people's opinions. That's why we're here. But I don't want it to become, antagonistic. So yes, ma'am, in the front here, you had a comment.
Well, you were not here at the previous meeting, I guess, when we did expose what all these carcinogens are and also the radioactivity.
Where did you get your information from?
Not from
where's
the gas.
The link?
Not
where's
from
the gas.
Frack Free Catskills puts out many things as well, and I think Mary and can be more specific. But frack fluid is a mixture of water and hundreds of highly toxic and carcinogenic chemicals that the oil gas companies pump into the wells to help break up the shale and release the natural gas. So fracking a single Marcellus shale gas well requires about 5 million gallons of water mixed with tens of thousands of gallons of chemicals and sand. Hundreds of different chemicals are used, including known carcinogens, neurotoxins have a negative impact on the nervous system, and endocrine disruptors interfere with the hormone system. These chemicals include, but are not limited to, ethylbenzene, ethylene glycol, hydrochloric acid, formaldehyde, and sulfuric acid. Due to an exemption in the Clean Water Act, the industry has been very secretive about which chemicals are being used and in what quantities, et cetera, et cetera. Then there are radioactive elements and heavy metals, arsenic, lead, mercury, which naturally occur in the shale and then are brought back in, back in this flowback fluid. I don't want these on our roads.
Who wrote that?
This came from many sources protecting New Citizens Campaign for the Environment.
Okay.
Protecting New York's air, land, water, and people. What's the hydrofracking rush? Frackfreecatskills.org.
Okay.
This is just one source.
This group get together with the other group with all the facts so we're all educated properly so we know if this is harmful or not. But you're taking solely the words of what? Is that a DEC statement? Is it?
All right, hold on, before we get out of control, Mary. Mary's kind of a spokesperson.
Hi, Mr. Bulick. When Mr. Brown wrote that letter, he wasn't at the meeting, and there were some things that I said that he didn't include. I said, when I said lots of chemicals, that's what he attacked. I actually said 2 to 3% of the total formula. I actually did more than 10 minutes worth of a fact check and found that different sites say between 0.6 and 5%. I used industry sites. I used the gas industry sites to find out how much. I also used the site that he put down to find out the gas industry site that he suggested. Okay. And I looked at the chemicals, and many of those chemicals are toxic and carcinogenic in parts per billion. Parts per billion. So they do have benzene and toluene. Now, those are the chemicals going down. What the other thing, yeah, you're right, there's radioactive elements down in the earth. They aren't meant, they're safe, they're natural down there. They're a mile down. They're not meant to be coming back up. And that's where I'm concerned. And that's what, when Mr. Brown wrote his letter, he wrote it in all, you know, good intentions. But he wasn't here when I mentioned a lot of the things. I mean, and I can't blame the reporter either. I mean, he can't write a book or anything for each newspaper article. But I just want to clarify to you that, you know, that I did do research before I came and spoke, and I actually wasn't intending to speak so much about what went down, but more about what was came back up, but it came up in conversation. So I didn't have the actual percentages in front of me. Mm-hmm. But it's between 0.6 and 5% of the total form of the total thing that goes, that gets fracked. And it's about 500 chemicals. Even a lot of the industry sites will say that they use about 500 chemicals. They use antibacterial,
I understand that. But I do not think that if there's brine salt being used, this solution being used, that it would be very difficult in any way, shape, or form to go get a cup of it and have a chemist analyze it. I'm not asking anybody in this room take my word for anything.
Mr. Bulick, they have done that in Western New York. And if you want to look up toxic targeting, Walter Hong, he has actually gone out and gotten some of these. There's other people in Western New York. Western New York is the only area that's used any of this brine on the road. It hasn't been used in this part of the state.
Did anybody contact any towns in Western New York then if this is so toxic as to why they would still be using it?
I didn't.
It's free.
Why do people?
Because they want to get rid of it. It's free. It's millions of gallons that come up every time, and they don't know what to do with it, and they give it away for free.
How much of that water is recycled?
How
much of that water is recycled and used in the next well?
Not all of it.
Yes, they are starting to recycle, which is something new.
Yes.
Because there's been a lot of protests
but in
about
the well, not in
water
the,
they're using.
Yes.
They're taking 5 million gallons of water per frack, and wells are fracked more than once.
Okay.
And to reduce the amount of clean water that's being ruined by being made toxic, they
in the ground. There's no water being contaminated in the ground.
There is water being contaminated.
Not the industry, even the state that.
It's this flowback trucks. But because of the concerns of people that have been expressed around the country, they are starting to figure out how they can reuse some of it, but they can't reuse all of it. Okay? So there's less fresh water going into the process. But they're still using water, and there's still flowback, and that's the stuff they're using for the brine. And that's the stuff a lot of us would not like to see, that toxic water on our roads, flowing off the roads, into our land, into our own personal wells, into our own farm properties. We don't want to see that. That's the concerns that we're coming from as individuals. Some of us have done research about this, and we have not gone necessarily to an oil and gas company's site to find out what that research is, okay? There's usually two sides to everything. You can sit there and listen to television all day long and get the positives about natural gas. I don't think it's so positive in every aspect. It burns cleanly, but getting out of that ground is not so clean. They're saying it's worse than coal. just as an FYI. Now, that's facts that some people have. Other people disagree with those facts. I personally disagree with the facts and disagree with your conclusion, but I leave it to the board.
Okay, but
all right, so let's do this. I know there may be some folks that want to rebut, but I kind of want to keep this moving and keep going with any new content. So table one, any new content? Anybody have anything else they'd like to bring up? Because I do want to make sure that people are comfortable to talk and are heard. Let me come back to you, Mayor, because I want to make sure everybody else gets a chance to talk.
Sure.
Anybody on table two that has not been heard, has a little extra content? Table three? Yes, sir.
My name is Rick Gerard. I'm a non-resident, but I live in the town of Catskill. And I would just like to thank the village for considering this. It is a very confusing issue. There are facts presented on both sides of the spectrum. It is hard to know what the right thing is to do. But the risks are so great with frack water. Until we know exactly, I think this is the right step to take. And I think it will be setting an example for other municipalities to look at and consider. I believe you said you're not passing a law. Is that correct?
We won't do that tonight. So there's been a couple recommendations on there was a fine. I wrote some rewording. So what would happen tonight, as typical with a public hearing, we hear from everybody. And what I do personally is wait to hear some folks that may have not made it to the meeting. They'll reach out to me and say, hey, I heard you had a meeting last night. Here's my two cents on the topic. We as a board will get back together at some point, probably during a regular board meeting, have a little discussion and quorum a little bit and make a final decision on it. If the changes to what we're making tonight are substantive, then what we'll probably wind up having to do is have a new public hearing, re-advertise, and bring folks back in for that. It's a process, but I want to make sure we follow the process very closely. So
I personally would like to see you institute this. I think the risks are too great. We just can't take chances with this type of product. It's risking our lives, the lives of our children, and who knows what in the future. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comment. Anybody else from table three? All right, what I want to do is I want to hear from my board here. So I'm gonna start with Mr. Kozlowski. Joe, is there any, again, I know you probably rehashed some of the things that were said, but if you could give the board and the public kind of your take on this whole thing.
Well, I'm for banning the brine for one thing, not basically because of the fracking aspect of it, but I believe that anything taken out of the earth is going to destroy the earth in the future. What's going to take its place when you take out that oil, when you take out the gas, or any other thing out of the earth? Something's got to give. Are we taking the oil out now? That's a natural coolant of the center of the earth. If you think about it, with motors and stuff, they use oil to lubricate and also to cool engines. Is that what we're trying to do? Take all the oil and gas out that's going to cool our, earth for years to come? Are we going to destroy it so our kids or grandkids aren't going to be able to live a good life? That's basically why. And I just want to throw out one other thing. Out of all the articles that I've read in the Times Union, the Freeman, and also in the Catskill Daily Mail, there was one that stuck out in my mind. It said that there are a lot of fracking wells in Texas, and if they can ban putting fracking brine on their roads in Texas, then everybody else should do the same thing.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Mr. McCulloch, any comments for the board or the audience?
Yeah, I'm all about public safety. I've basically dedicated my entire life to public safety. Yeah. But for this, there's just, as the gentleman in the back said, it's confusing both sides. I don't know everything about fracking. I hardly, the first meeting we had last time was the first time I really heard about it. So for me, before I make an educated guess, I need to do a little homework for myself and get facts and try to put this all together.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. Mr. Duchesne, comments?
Well, I agree with what Mr. Bulut said, that there's not enough information out there for us to make a justified statement and say, we're going to pass this law. Any of those people out there, what we're doing is asking for help and getting more concerns in there. If you have material that you guys want to do your homework and study onto it and bring it back to the board so we can make an honest decision. And if Mr. Bulich would like to come around when you have that, whoever your spokesperson is, or people who you're representing, then he could ask those questions or he could look over that literature and the board could look over. If we don't understand, we can have our attorney look at it and then make the proper decision. Because to make a a shot from shooting from the hip tonight and say, let's go with this. You're trying to make us make a decision for everybody here, and 95% of these people don't even know what we're talking about. I'm for one that when we got hit last week, didn't know anything about it. So I did some homework, I asked some people, and the state don't feel that they want to touch this. The county legislators wouldn't touch it, and I do agree it's got to be started somewhere.
That's not true. They did say that they don't use it.
Right.
It is on record that said that they don't use it, and they don't intend on using it.
Right, because it goes into your bidding process and going that way, and that's what you can do. But as far as making a decision that without having the full information, I, for one, would not make that decision until I learned more about it and it was a proper decision to make, and I knew it was an honest decision for the taxpayers who put us here. That's what I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Duchesne. So here's my, and I've been talking all along, so I'll be brief. You know, we keep talking about fracking in the middle of this, and to me, they're two separate things, right? So fracking happens. This is not a ban on fracking. I'm not saying you're gonna, don't frack in the village. I'm saying there's this byproduct of some process. Whether it's good or bad or indifferent, there's a byproduct of a process that happens away from here, out of our state, and potentially could get shipped here and put on our roads, and I don't know what's in that product. I mean, this is my 20%. So whether or not it's 1/1,000,000,000th of a radioactive particle per 1/1,000,000,000th of whatever, to me, yes, it's about facts, but it's also about the unknown. If I don't know what's going on our roads and I don't see the harm in banning it, what's the difference? So we're not talking a big cost differential that we're gonna say, okay, rock salt is $100,000 and this brine is free, or this brine is $1.20. To me, the risk is too high to put something on our road. I do take Mr. Village's comments that, you know, get a cup of it and have it analyzed. I am not sure that that's the answer either, because, you know, and my analogy is gonna be silly, but just bear with me. You know, the Whopper is different than the Big Mac. So every time somebody brings in a new bucket of new brine here, then we need to stop it at the border, have a chemist on hand, have a village chemist take a look at it and say, oh, this is good for the road. This can go on the road versus the next guy that comes in. I don't know that I want to get into that business. And I don't really know what the volume of this brine is going to be, right? I mean, we don't know. I haven't, and Lou, I'll ask you a pointed question. Has anybody called the village hall and said, I've got brine for sale? Okay, so, and Peckham, have any of your vendors, let's say Peckham, have they ever called in the past year and said, we're thinking about adding brine to our salt mixture? Are you, does that bother you? Have you had any of those conversations?
At this time, no. The people out there sell brine right now, but it's calcium brine. It's not fracking brine.
Right. Magnesium
and chlorine. They use calcium on the roads.
Okay.
But as far as fracking brine, I've had one phone call, and it was by this group asking for the law, all right, if we had a law or a resolution in place, and I said, not to my knowledge, but sent them to the town office, and Betsy, I think, is the one that's been working.
Okay, all right. So my recommendation is this. We do have a couple of housekeeping items on this local law. Mm-hmm. We kept our word and did a public hearing tonight, had heard from everyone. I hope everybody did have a chance to speak up and said their piece. What we'll do is I'm going to need a week or two to sit down with the board, sit down with the attorney, take a look at some of these changes. I've heard from two board members that would like to do a little bit more research. I have one board member, Mr. Chewins, who's absent tonight. I'd like to have him read the meeting notes that our clerk is producing and then have him ask additional questions from there. So I would say from a timeline perspective, unless the board disagrees, I think that we'll come back, not with a vote, but come back at our two-week regular meeting. Are we in 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure I
understand.
Second Wednesday of the month. Come back to that meeting, have another good dialogue with the folks on the board, open discussion, and then we'll make a decision whether or not we have to have a new public hearing. If we're come to a conclusion that night that we can make a vote on it and don't have to make changes to this document, then we'll go ahead and take a vote on it that night. Does anybody on the board have an objection to that?
No. Can we get a copy of, what was it, Hunter or Tannersville?
Yep. Who was it? Did we know?
Yeah. Does anybody know if Hunter or Tannersville did something, do you know what it was?
I can get it for you.
All right, Mr. Kozlowski has that as a takeaway.
Albany County.
And Albany County too, on what they passed, what they.
Well, Ulster County passed one, there's been quite a few of them.
But that's some of the.
That's what ours is based on.
We just need one, you know, to look at why they passed, how they passed, what changes they made, and we could add them into our own, which may help us, and some of the stuff that they did change may not help us, so, but at least you're looking into it, and you've looked at all the avenues, and then you can make an honest decision.
Okay.
And that's what we have an attorney for, let him read it.
Yep, I would agree. So before I close the public hearing, I want to say thank you to everybody, I know you care about your community, I appreciate you guys coming out, you guys can, after we gavel out of the public hearing, we've got a few things on the irregular agenda. I'll take a 3 or 4 minute break if you don't want to be part of the fun and excitement on the last three items on the agenda. You guys can take off, and then we'll take, and then again, at the end, we'll open it up to the public, but I don't want to have any, at the end of it, I don't want to have any public comments on this, because I don't want the folks that left the room to not be in the mix on what was said right now. So, would somebody please make a motion to gavel out of the public hearing? Motion by Mr. Duchesne, second by?
Yes.
Second by Mr. Kozlowski. Thank you. 3 minute recess, and then we'll pick up on this. Thank you, everyone.
Yes, we can.